I don't mind that. I know I'm not real bright, so that's why they put it on the record.
Just a reminder that we're live streaming, so you might want to make a comment about that we're live streaming this to the internet.
I was gonna make you.
Well, we were there the whole weekend.
Hey, Bill, you want to close that door?
Hi there, how are you?
Hey, can I have your attention a minute? We have a sign-in sheet going. Okay, make sure everybody signed into that. Another thing we have going on for the first time is we're streaming live, audio only, right, Debbie? No video, I don't think.
No, no video. No, it's just audio.
So, I don't know what that means, but I guess we have to be careful what we say. Some of us, anyway. Yeah, no foul language, right?
Liz has to abstain on two of the ag districts because she's worked on them. So we'll have to do them separate. Okay.
Okay, everybody settled in? Bill, are you ready? Okay. It's 1:30, and we do have a quorum. Troy, how you doing? When we get started, we have a pretty good crowd today. I want to get to everybody's concerns here in a little bit. If you don't mind, I'd like to conduct a little business before we get to that point, so if everybody can be patient. First off, meeting's called to order. And then, again, I'm not going to introduce everybody. Well, you know who most of you are. So. Approval of the minutes. The minutes are in your packet.
I have one change.
Okay.
On page 5, I think the recommendation was an acceleration lane instead of a deceleration lane.
Okay.
It was just incorrect in the minutes. The report for the state highway was okay. But it was just in the minutes. But other than that, I'll make a motion to approve.
Second.
Okay. Any other further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Unanimous. Officer report. Jeff, do you have anything to report?
No.
Tim? Anybody else? Elizabeth, do you have anything? Jeff?
No, I don't.
Tori, you have anything to say? Jim? No. That's unusual. Okay, moving on up. We're going to pass over to Chad. He's going to give us some agricultural land preservation issues we have. So we're going to go to that right now. So Chad, you have the floor.
Okay, I think we will do those individually.
Yes.
So we have a Garrett County Agricultural Land Preservation District ordinance. It's to preserve farmland, woodland. It's a 3-year commitment. It makes people eligible to then apply to the state for some of their easement programs, where they're actually getting money for a permanent easement on the property. It also makes them eligible for a tax credit. Once I get these applications, I send them to the Ag Advisory Board and the Planning Commission. Once I send them to the Planning Commission, I'll just read this. This is from the ordinance. County Planning Commission then informs the commissioners whether establishment of the district is compatible with existing approved county plans, programs, and overall county policy, and whether the Planning Commission recommends establishment of the district. In process of review, the County Planning Commission shall consider compatibility of district establishment with state and local plans. So you should have those in your packets. We'll go through the first one. It is SY-121, Valley of Hope Farms. The Ag Advisory Board looked at these on Friday the 29th. They approved all of these. And the things that they really look at is size. You have to have at least 50 acres for the program. Productivity, which is based on soils. They have to have soils that meet certain requirements. They have to commit to doing it 3 years, and they can't be located within a 10-year water and sewer service area. Valley of Hope Farms, this one's on Baker Farm Road and Gorman Road. It's 390.1 acres. It meets all the criteria. The only thing that's a little out of the ordinary, a little tiny part of the problem or of the property is in the water service area. I talked to Public Utilities about that. It's because of that main water line going through the area. They said it really shouldn't be included. It's just a little isthmus that sticks down there. They said it's not really a see a conflict there. It's more a mapping issue. Any questions about this one?
Got any questions? You need to vote each one individually?
Yeah,
Got a motion on the floor?
Move to approve the establishment of Ag District.
Second. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? So moved.
Second one is SY-122. This one is Patricia Hummel. She is the representative of the estate of Wayne B. Hamilton, Jr. So this property will probably be transferring to Ms. Hummel and her sister sometime soon. This one's 664.95 acres on George Washington Highway, and it meets all the criteria the Ag Advisory Board approved of. I don't think anyone's doing more about these.
I don't think so. If you ever get a chance, you can see what big the properties are, so. There's no concerns you have about this one at all. Make a motion?
Make a motion to approve the establishment of the Ag District.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? So moved.
The next one is CR-123. This is Andrew Bradley. This one's 50 acres on White Fawn Lane. And that's at the intersection of New Germany Road, Chestnut Ridge Road. It meets all the requirements with Woodland Group soils. The only thing that's a little out of the ordinary about the next couple is that some of these are owned in an LLC together, and they're working on splitting them off. So hopefully by the time we actually record the district, they'll be in the proper names. But all the owners are on the involved in this. This one will be in Andrew Bradley's name alone.
Anybody have any questions about this one?
If move doesn't need a contingency clause in it to that they get separated.
Well, the next step will be if you approve those, we'll have a meeting with the Garrett County Commissioners. If they approve them, then we have to actually record the district agreement. So what I've told them is before we actually record that, we've got to double check everything to make sure. Because once we record it, then it's final. And then to change anything when they apply to the state would require their approval. So we have a couple weeks lead time that we can sort that out if we can be changing this.
Troy, you had a concern?
Yes. Chad? There's a note here that the majority is in woodland. Mm-hmm. Now, does that mean it doesn't have to meet the soil requirements?
Well, there are two different ways you can look at it. And soil conservation does this part. They look at it in their USDA soil requirements on cropland and pasture, and then there are different types of woodland soils on woodland. So they look at it, and you have to have a majority in one or the other, or you can combine and have 60%. Too. So if it's woodland like that, I think they looked at that one and said it meets the Woodland Groups 1 and 2 soils, which are just the better soils.
Okay. So,
and woodland is a compatible use with these programs, even if it is all good.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Elizabeth, do you have a question?
I have to abstain on this.
Okay. But. All right. Motion.
Second.
Any other further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed?
The next one is CR-124, John Conjado. He is actually in the LLC with Mr. Bradley, so they're working on splitting these two properties up. And he also has a property there by Michael Pellet, who's one of the joining ones. They're forming this district together. He's hoping to purchase that property from Mr. Pellet before we report the district. This one's 80 acres.
Any concern with this one?
I also abstain on this.
Okay. We'll get you to vote here soon, okay? Hear a motion?
I'll make that motion.
Second. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? So moved, Chad.
Okay. Next one is NY-125, James and Linda Sherman. This one's 78.02 acres off Oakland San Juan Road. And it's mostly wooded also. It has 50% soil from Woodland Group 1 and 2. It's all the criteria.
Now, Captain, the implication is that it meets the requirements for the woodland, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Soil Conservation District, they do soil overlay maps, and then each one of those specific soils has a ranking, whether it's a 1 or 2, or it could be a 4 soil, which might be a number we occasionally will get one that doesn't meet these soil requirements. The soils just aren't very good, and we don't move forward with those.
I move to be approved.
Second?
I'll second.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? So moved, Chad. You're in. Okay, folks. We're going to skip over the zoning appeals cases for now. Nobody has any problem with that. And we're going to try to move into our, I guess, the old new business, I guess, in a lot of ways. One thing I want to point out, the rules of engagement in this situation are going to be like this. We don't mind people speaking, but we also have to keep it limited. We got, you know, we received 28 letters in support of the amendment. I think we understand that part of it very well. So if you need to speak or want to speak, let's try to keep it to a timely fashion. I want to move on, you know, with this as quickly as we possibly can. And I think I'm going to turn it over to Debbie for a minute. She's going to try to lay out the process that the Planning Commission has to deal with at this point. Now, one thing I will say is this is probably one time that this group, I'm talking about the Planning Commission, has had most of this information and the stuff that Debbie has provided. I thank her very much for that. I think that helped everybody understand what process we're going through. Anybody have any questions about the information that was sent out today to everybody? You understood all fine. So now we understand what, Troy?
I have one question, a procedural question. You know, the concern exists that, you know, this change to the ordinance ahead of addressing it in the revised comprehensive plan could present a problem. Now, not necessarily does, because I can read the comp plan two ways. One way it's compliant, one way it's not. So I just want to make sure that, you know, if we do this, and frankly, I'm in favor of doing it, but I want to make sure it's being done right in something that can stick.
So you're hoping that there's not a conflict down the road somewhere, is that what you're thinking?
Exactly.
Okay.
And the real question then for Debbie is, could this be recommendation to the commissioners be made contingent on this being incorporated in the comprehensive plan, and if that effort be initiated as soon as we get feedback from the state on what they're doing? Because the state's not going to address a lot of things. The industrialization, they don't address that, I don't think. Traffic, they don't address that. That's up to us. So I don't want to kick this can down the road so far that we lose traction. Mm-hmm. So that's my concern. So can we make a recommendation with a contingency on it?
Yes, you can make any kind of recommendation with any kind of contingency that you would like. So if your concern is the comprehensive plan and the timing of the whole thing, it can be that the recommendation can be that you want the amendment to be put in, but with a guarantee of a follow-up of the policy change in the comprehensive plan as well.
Okay. Thank you. One other clarification I'd like to bring out, and hopefully you don't know, if I don't put you on the spot yet, you know what I mean, as far as certain things go. This has already come to you guys at one point, right?
We've had some general discussion.
Right. And your board came back and said you're going to have a public hearing, you're going to wait for the state to make their decision. Is that correct in saying that? I mean, I don't want to put words. I want you to tell me.
No, I think
he's referring to the POA letter that you, well, the last board of commissioners got, and then you responded to, which is very similar, but wasn't, it was a letter and it wasn't an amendment request.
I'm not sure how to respond. I'm not trying to hide it.
No, I'm saying it, okay. When it came to us, you know what I mean, now we're going to take a vote on something here at some point.
Yeah.
I guess what I'm saying is, you know, the word I've heard and some of the people I've talked to on amending this was, due to the timeline with which the commissioners were going to wait for the state, for the MDE to come back with their findings before they decide to act on whether they were going to not allow fracking.
I
need to clarify. I'm sorry, I didn't understand that.
Well, Danny might address that by talking about
you know, she provided us information about the process and what the options are. I don't know if we've shared that with anybody else in terms of that.
Well, everybody has that process, and that's what she was going to do next, but I wanted to see if there's anything that I didn't understand correctly, you know, before I got into the process.
I mean, I think the information, the paper she provided to us pretty much lays out the process and all the options, and I guess the decision today from the Planning Commission is to whether or not to have a public hearing.
Yes, that's one of them. So what you need to do is you either make a recommendation today to the commissioners or you hold a public hearing. You're under a 30-day timeline from the date you received this application. You received it at the last meeting. Today is 28 days from that. So you either make a recommendation in that 30 days or you schedule a public hearing, at which point the 30 days is from the date of the public hearing that you have to have the commissioners a recommendation.
Yeah, and I think one of the options we have that maybe you're referring to is to, it comes back to what you mentioned about making it part of the update of the comprehensive plan. And one of the options that we talked about was waiting until the regulations were published by the state. And then we still have a window of opportunity to take action on this. I think that's, you described that in the document you provided for us too, I think,
right?
So, and the only reason I'm bringing this up, so
that's
I don't
in
to
the
be
strategies of the watershed management plan. There was,
I want everybody on the commission to understand, the Planning Commission plus some of the public understand where that was at, because I had heard that was one of the, and I want to clarify that. I didn't want to put you in a spot. I'm just saying.
And I should tell, just so everybody knows, I've been advised that what I should do today is recuse myself from voting on this, because if it's going to come to the commissioners for a vote later, so I'm here mostly to listen to
me. I just wanted to clarify that before we went any further.
No problem.
Now what I'm going to have Debbie do is go over the process of how we're the function at this point.
Right. So I already did part of that. So you know you've got to do one of two things, recommend or do a public hearing. You are recommending to the commissioners, only the commissioners can amend the ordinance. So you're just making a recommendation about this particular amendment, that you approve it, you disapprove it, or you can approve it with modifications. So those are your three options if you're going to make a decision today. Or you can schedule a public hearing. I would recommend you schedule that. You look at your calendars and get that scheduled as soon as you can.
We should probably note that the commissioners are required to have a public hearing, right?
Yes. So commissioners are required. For the Planning Commission, it is optional.
No, that's right. I want to clarify that. We are optional with our plan and our public
hearing. For your public hearing.
But they will have to have one.
They don't have the option. They have to do it.
Question. In the past, the Planning Commission County commissioners have had a joint public hearing.
Yes.
Is that legitimate?
It is possible. Yeah, okay. You can do both.
You didn't say it was legitimate.
I didn't say that, but it is possible. We have done it in the past.
Okay. Are there any further questions from the Planning Commission members? I guess the next step will be to try to, so everybody that's in here understands, we have the three options at the Planning Commission. We'll look over this afternoon. Troy's point about the comprehensive plan is a legitimate concern, and I think it is. And I think that's very well pointed out, to tell you the truth.
Would you like me to read the consistency thing that I wrote in that paper just for the record?
Yes.
Okay. So as it comes to comp plan consistency, what I advise these guys is, I'll just quote it. One of the major priorities of Planning Commission is to ensure consistency between the policies within the comprehensive plan and the ordinances that implement those policies through regulation. Any action can be appealed to court, and an easy target pursuit is consistency. Minor amendments have been made to ordinances, but if an amendment can be viewed as a change in policy, it is generally held for comprehensive plan review in order to ensure consistency and to allow for more thorough public involvement. Section 10.4 in the Mineral Resources chapter states, this is in the comprehensive plan, that the county's number one policy and action is to support, quote, support responsible mining of Garrett County's mineral resources, end quote, Further, the number three policy in action is to, quote, work with MDE, SHA, other state agencies, and energy companies to monitor natural gas development activities, to ensure the safety of the ground and surface water supplies, to protect sensitive environmental areas, to address the socioeconomic impacts of natural gas drilling, and to ensure the safety and adequacy of roads to accommodate natural gas drilling activities, end quote. Policy number three is consistent with the purpose in charge of the Shale Gas Advisory Group and meetings with MDE regarding the proposed regulations. So one question to ask yourselves is, will the approval of this amendment be consistent with the policies listed above, or be considered a departure from the current policy regarding mineral resource mining? And I think, as Troy has pointed out, it kind of depends on how you read that. It's a little open to interpretation. It might be individual.
Keeps our lawyers employed.
They have to pay bills too.
Okay. Anybody? I'm going to open the floor up here for a minute, but one thing I'd like to bring up to think about, fuel for thought, is another thing that came up was is the concern about horizontal, because the Planning Commission did implement several setback regulations. One was 2,000 feet from the high water point, right? And the other 1,000 feet from any property line.
Unleased property line.
Right.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is, and a lot of people I've talked to are concerned about the horizontal drilling from my house to Deep Creek Lake. Okay? Not to get into the muck with the comprehensive plan and all that stuff being right, because we look at putting a, I don't want to say a restriction, but a caveat, if you want to call it that, on what we've already have implemented or passed that says a certain location to a certain location, there will be no horizontal drilling. I don't know, I'm just asking that question because of the concern we have about the comprehensive plan and fitting into that. Troy?
Tony, I think that if we include the horizontal aspect of that, it's one going to impact the revenue to the county. I don't think it creates the concern that we're trying to address here today. So I'd just like to, I think we should leave it vertical only and let the horizontal run as it may. But I do think that we need to address the, as it was pointed out by a letter from the Property Owners Association, the associated infrastructure, such as the pipelines, pumping stations, but you know, that Debbie pointed out, be it carefully so that if you start delineating, you might find something that is not addressed, and then it raises the question, was that covered? That broad statement that the POA used, associated surface infrastructure, is that general enough that do you think it gets around that problem?
Yeah, I think that would cover it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that we should incorporate that with the proposal and not incorporate the horizontal drilling aspect of it.
The only reason I brought that up was is there were numerous people that have come to me, and that was part of their concern. Was not only I just brought that up as an option to look at. Eric, you had something to say?
Yeah, looking at the, I was on the Impacts for Growth with Deb and the subcommittee that worked on this, and looking at the laterals that are coming underneath. Part of the consideration was that we would be taking all this land out of use for those that wanted to lease or wanted to be able to participate in it. By having the wellbore moved to outside of the watershed, it did prohibit those that already had leases or any activity that was current or that would have been current at that time from participating. So it was just taking the wellbore and the impacts associated, because that's all we were asked about, was the impacts from industrialized activities being moved outside of the watershed. It had no other conversations. I would only make one other suggestion. I like the fact that this came in by itself. I hate to see other things bundled in because you don't want to see the baby thrown out with the bathwater if there's problems with any of the other components.
Anybody else like to speak?
Yes, sir. Bob Hoffman, PA
COA, I just wanted to comment that your understanding of where the commissioners' heads are at least from my perspective as the POA boss, is absolutely correct. The discussion that I had about the POA letter, which was first sent to the last group of commissioners in October of 2014, the reaction on the part of Paul Edwards to that was, you know, we would like to see what the state regulations are prior to, you know, coming down on this one way or the other. So I just wanted to say that your understanding, sir, is consistent with the information that was furnished to me.
Anybody else? Smokey?
Thanks.
I just have to see your letters that are out there.
Real brief. The chairman of the Youghiogheny River Watershed Association, and we are supporting the petition, and we think it's something that he should do. What's not in the letter, and when I was preparing to come here, it occurred to me, the letter says that Deep Creek Lake is a bowl, and the management plan as well as the petition focuses on that bowl, and that doesn't pay any attention to what's outside that bowl. We would urge you to adopt it. We're favorable toward it and all that. One consideration, though, is we would ask you to pay attention to outside the bowl, because it is a system, and there's lots of ways to say that, but this takes care of Deep Creek Lake, but it doesn't necessarily protect that bowl from Marcellus contamination or other contamination. And we understand what position that puts you in, but it doesn't go away. By way of reference, when the Deep Creek management plan was first being developed, they held a meeting down at the college to say, this is what we're going to do, this is how we're going to go about it. And there was a decision made by that group, as spoken by their chairman, that they were only going to pay attention to the watershed. Now, in terms of efficiency of the meetings, that makes sense. In terms of understanding that they had decided to only look at the bowl, then they decided to not look anyplace else. So this is a second bite at that apple. For the Yauk River Association, we would say the Planning Commission should look outside just that bowl because it has impact on the rest of the county. So thank you.
Anybody else? Troy?
I'd like to respond to Smokey. You know, that is a concern that you've raised, but that puts the baby in the bathwater in danger because, you know, we do not have, you know, comprehensive zoning outside of the watershed. So I think we should stick to what we know we can do and not muddy the water. And then if you want to come in and at your, this is dispensed with, consider expanding it. I think you're going to have a major job on your hand getting the rest of the county to accept comprehensive zoning.
Just to clarify, our letter says this is stage one. Get
okay.
Stage
yeah,
one done.
Yeah, I was going to tell you that, Troy. But that's what I understood. Anybody else?
Yeah, my name is Paul Roberts. I'm from Citizen Shale. I'm curious, really, a question more than anything. The industry for many years has been revising how long their laterals can be. They're kind of proud now. They're up to, I believe, somewhere close to 10,000 feet in Ohio from probably 6,000 feet when I first got interested in this. I'm curious if you've looked at, if you have any idea how many properties are currently leased that would be, say, within 10,000 feet of the edge of the watershed. Do you have any idea? I know most of those leases have expired, but I'm sure.
Back in January when I did my spatial analysis, we started with, I first showed them what it would look like with just the current regulations that are in the zoning ordinance. And at that point in time, there were three leased properties in the watershed. They were all in the general McHenry kind of area. None of them real close to the watershed boundary. One of them was within the 2,000 foot buffer that was already in place for the high water mark, so it couldn't be used for vertical drilling. The other two were surrounded, they weren't contiguous, so they're surrounded by unleased properties. So once you applied the 1,000-foot property boundary that we have in the zoning ordinance, what was left as far as usable land for a well pad was less than 5 acres. So they couldn't have had vertical drilling there anyway. I checked this morning with Kim Durst, who does the lease mapping, and she said there has been no changes since January, no additions of leases, and no dropping of leases. So as far as we know, those three are still leased.
And were you working with a number as to what that lateral length is these days? I mean, is it?
No, the last time we did the spatial analysis with MDE and DNR, we used two different scenarios, a 4,000 and an 8,000, and that's what we did. But of course, that was based on the last regulations that are null and void at this point.
Okay.
Paul?
Paul Durham, Garrett County Board of Realtors. In addition to focusing on leases, one of the things that MDE acknowledged when they were looking at the issue was that you can actually exercise drilling rights by virtue of mineral rights. So while there may not be a lease that's showing in the land records, if you own the mineral rights, you may be able to affect drilling without having a lease. So leases give us a partial glimpse, but the potential is probably greater than what the leases might show us.
One thing I remember about the map that Debbie showed us that day was when state implemented all the rules and regulations that they were going to put on drilling. There were two pieces of product about the size end of that pencil. Never going to be able to have Marcella drilling, if I remember that correctly.
It was one piece. Portions of it were not usable.
Right.
But the little portions that were above 5 acres. So there was one property. But again, those were regulations.
That's right.
That
they were based on, right. That was if everything went
for all intents and purposes, they don't exist anymore.
Yes, ma'am.
Was that comment with respect to Deep Creek Lake Watershed or to
the whole county?
Well, there was only one in Deep Creek Lake Watershed. There was more than that in the whole county that were available.
Yeah, John, quickly, just an informational point. It may not matter here the way you're headed, but it may be useful to observe that in the interaction between regulations and the issue at hand, there are aspects of the drilling operation which are inherent part of the industrialization, which will not and cannot be regulated in and out like heavy truck traffic. So just understand that. Two, as part of the advisory group of which I'm a member, we met with MDE and we were reminded that on topics of concern to some people here, compressor stations, pipeline, leakage, noise, et cetera, but they were beyond MDE's jurisdiction and are not part of the regulations that will appear. So no matter what those regulations say, they will not deal with control of locations of compressor stations. They will not deal with locations and placement of pipelines, and they cannot legislate out just inherent aspects of the industrial process. So I can understand the logic of awaiting the regulations, but one could be disappointed if they thought they were going to address, certain concerns that are part of this.
I mean, even the actions that we would take or the county would take at this point in time is not going to correct a lot of those problems. Because if the drilling does happen, it happens someplace on the southern end of the county far away, and the traffic is going to make it, whichever way it goes. I mean, how do you ever address those issues,
I think the board has said on a couple of different occasions that we want to see what's in the regulations so we know, so we can identify,
right,
using you all and other sources to identify what isn't covered, so we can put in place those things to address those issues.
That's what I guess my point I was trying to get to was there's a process that started at this process. I mean, if we take a vote or whatever we do today, then there's also the process that until somebody tells us how it's going to be regulated, unless the county commissioners are going to regulate it completely, which I don't think that's, you can do that on all the state, but the state implications are going to be involved. It's really difficult to come up with a way to, for lack of a better term, police Marcellus drilling in Garrett County, but learning the watershed,
Yeah, it's also important to bring up that back when we had to make a decision about when to do the comprehensive plan, you guys decided to to wait. MDP came back and said, well, you don't have to do it till 2021, 2023. And you guys said, no, we don't want to wait that long. But we do want to wait till after the regulations come out. And then the Marcellus Shale Group has a chance to see where the gaps are so that we can incorporate that stuff.
Yes, sir.
May I ask, what have you heard about the release of the regulations? Did you say anything about
Very little. What I've heard has just been kind of hearsay, you know, somebody says I might have heard such and such, but you know, personally I haven't gotten a call from them, so I don't know. I did hear, not directly, that the spring roadshow, as it were, they were going to go on. I think that's what I'm calling it because it's just easier for me. I've heard that should be starting in the next month or two, but and there was going to be a stop in Garrett and a stop in Allegheny and another one in Baltimore.
Anything about a couple days around Memorial Day?
That's what we've heard.
I didn't hear anything specific unless you've heard something else. But
anybody else? Yes, ma'am.
Hi, Judy Carbone. I think one of the concerns that might be present, maybe I should pose it better as a question, is that if the amendment were to be secured after the regulations were in place, would it be changeable by law? Would the regulations forbid us then from making that kind of an amendment?
Let me answer that. Land use authority is granted to the local governments in the state of Maryland. So though they can create some laws that kind of make it, kind of steer us in certain directions, they can't reverse our policies, our regulations on when it comes to land use.
But if that land use was adopted after those regulations were in place, then which one would be primary?
I don't know that I can answer that. I'm assuming it would be
so
ours,
I think that's
but
some of the concern
I don't know.
Reasons for doing it before the regulations might come out.
Right.
Eric.
I had a meeting with Attorney General Brian Frost, and we talked about preemption. And one of the concerns about preemption was that once a regulatory process has been placed, and that if a municipality or a county government was to take an action that was counter to what that was, they're looking at it as a preemptive act, and that preemptive act would be more challengeable in a court of law as opposed to having something that was done, such as what you're doing now, a prescriptive action.
That didn't help answer your question, any? Okay. All right, anybody else? Okay, now back to this group. So, any discussion on, Jeff, you're kind of quiet. I see you're taking notes. You have anything you want to input?
Actually, I do.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Well, currently right now we have to stay, if we have any wellhead drilling for Marcellus Shale, we have to be 2,000 feet from the high water elevation of Deep Creek. Currently, that's
right.
The play right now, correct?
Right,
yes.
That's
so
one of the contingencies.
So how many feet out does the, I wasn't at the last meeting, maybe guys talked about it. How many feet out from the lake are we talking about when we're talking about encompassing the whole Deep Creek watershed area?
Oh my.
Right, yeah.
Put me on the spot for that one.
Feet. It kind of goes back to what Paul said. If we get outside.
Well, if you look at Deep Creek Lake on 219 and Mountainside.
Remember
we're
saying
that right.
Watershed, you're talking about every tributary that runs into it?
Right.
Whatever the map for the zone.
And see, here's the thing with the watershed.
It's not
a nice little, you know, the shape of the lake and go out. It's got the big arm up that goes almost to Biddinger.
So the red line will cover it all?
Yeah, everything shaded on there is the watershed.
Okay.
That's the watershed.
In the red, with the red boundary line.
Yeah. No.
Okay. Which was lost.
Let me look in this one folder to see if, because once upon a time I mapped that. Let me see if I have one that's easy to see.
There's probably a couple places it could be. Okay.
I mean, here's the zoning map. Yeah. Which basically shows the red lines, you know what I mean? Basically, it's just one of the maps that's in our book.
That's the updated version.
Yeah, this is the updated version here. Yeah. I can see that.
Well, there's the whole county. That shows the 2,000 foot from the lake.
Designing map, so that will cover, the ordinance does cover everything here in the blue, Debbie?
2,000 feet from the high water mark, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the whole lake, or make the whole county, what, but Tony, to your right.
This is what's under.
That shows the 2,000, but it's the whole county. It doesn't show you the watershed, but.
Okay.
That's 2,000 feet.
The zoning map, does that encompass the whole watershed?
The zoning map is the entire watershed.
It's the entire watershed, so it's nothing outside of that, because if we go outside of that.
There's no zoning.
We don't have any zoning.
Yeah, there's no zoning.
And we're back to countywide, which we don't have any zoning countywide.
Right.
Okay. That was my main comment. I just wanted to see how much, you know, we're encompassing of the county.
That was implemented when this first started to come about. I mean, what's that, a year ago now, probably? Year and a half?
Pardon?
The 2,000 foot from high water mark, that came about. I mean, it's discussion first.
That's.
Incorporated in the last comprehensive.
Right.
Yeah.
I think it was.
In the subsequent zoning ordinance.
Ma'am, you had something?
I didn't introduce myself earlier, and Bristow, Savage River Watershed, but Jeff asked my question, which is there's exact conformity between the watershed map and the zoning.
Not exact.
Not exact.
Not exact. They're very close.
Okay, that's where I was coming.
They're very close, and here's why. Zoning is based on parcel boundaries, and watersheds obviously are not. So when we do the zoning, it's as close as we can get to the watershed.
There's not a pin there.
I couldn't tell if it's.
Yeah, so if it splits, you know, if it's.
Parcel, so you captured all the watershed or opposite.
So when it was mapped, you try to get, let's say if it's split 50-50, then that's a hard call. But if you say, you know, 60% of it is out, then you try to, you know, put that whole parcel out. But if 60% of it is in, you put it in.
Because when I looked at it, it looked like all your headwater trips were in.
I think for the most part, they are.
Pretty close.
Yeah, it's.
Thank you.
I don't know whether this is helpful, but if you care about numbers, it turns out that the watershed is about 10% of the acreage of the county. And part of the watershed that would be denied recovery by the proposed amendment, if you allow laterals, is about 25% of that 10%. So what we're talking about here in terms of denying natural gas recovery with the amendment is 3% of the natural gas in the county. So the economic, you know, so the portion of whatever economic benefit you want to attribute is a big question for the larger county. For this amendment, you're denying only 3% of that natural gas recovery if you were to adopt the amendment.
Okay, anybody else? No. Okay.
Just, so you're saying, your number is 3% of the land area where there might be gas. That's your point.
Yeah, that's right. if you go proportional to acreage, which is, you know,
right.
Never right in detail, but indicative, so that you get those numbers.
Okay, let's get back to the group here again. Elizabeth, do you have anything you want to add or say or comment?
Well, I do like the language that was suggested by the POA. I think it kind of gets rid of ambiguity. That's really my only comment on that.
Timmy? Jim? I know you're not going to vote on, but do you want anything to say before?
No, I think we the Board of Commissioners, aren't going to do anything until we see what kind of position Planning Commission is going to take or what kind of recommendation they're going to make. I do think, it's kind of an aside, I do think we ought to give serious consideration to if this group wants to have a hearing. I think then we ought to give serious consideration to a joint hearing. I don't see any reason to do it twice. And in fact, if I understand the process right, if the Planning Commission has a hearing and then we have a hearing, we have to wait till we get the recommendation from the Planning Commission after their hearing. All that is kind of drag things out.
It'll be 60 days. You got 30 days and 30 days, and it does drag it.
You can't make a decision until you have their recommendation.
Right. So, I mean, if you want to move this along, that's what I'm saying. I know it's another issue, but it's something for us to decide, or you have to decide.
Anything? Troy?
I'm ready to get a motion on the floor.
I can see the wheel turn.
Just like to make, I'd just like to make one real comment to lead into that. We all know what an asset Deep Creek Lake is, and if you did have gas drilling, that's a one-time boom. This here thing, this lake, we need this for the generations to come. I just can't fathom any type of drilling, not just drilling. I don't want to see any drilling, substations, lines running through. I don't want to see the lake disturbed at all. That's my personal feeling.
That's right. And your personal feelings in this situation are fine and noted. But however, we're supposed to be objective in this situation on this board. And that's why you were appointed this board.
Exactly.
Okay, everybody understand that? I appreciate opinions. I've listened to your opinions. And we've all listened to your opinions. Okay? The point is that we're here to try to decide what is legal we can do, what we can possibly do. And Jeff, I'm not scolding, I'm just saying. If we allow that, then we when everybody's elected to, when you're elected to a board, whether it be the board of commissioners or whether it be the board, you've got to look at all the options. And the options right now are, do we put a motion on the floor to accept the amendment, the verbiage that was submitted to us, or do we decide to go with a public hearing? Is that the way I understand it, Debbie?
Right, but not necessarily the verbiage that was submitted to you. You can modify the verbiage. So approve, disapprove, modify, or do a public hearing.
Right. If you want to modify it with some type of caveat, that's fine. You know what I mean? And that's what we're looking at.
So just one point of clarification. Should we decide if we're going to have a public hearing first? Because we wouldn't decide these other things and then have a public hearing, would we? Or not? I
thought it was either or.
Yeah, you can do either or. They can make a recommendation or they can do a public hearing. It might be cleaner at this point to get whether or not you want the public hearing, if that's your preference, out of the way first.
You're suggesting a public hearing?
I'm suggesting we should decide whether or not we want to have a public hearing before we decide the other thing. Maybe I'm out of...
Whether you approve, disapprove, or modify.
Yeah.
Okay, let me...
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
But I wasn't suggesting that the Planning Commission have a public hearing or even a joint public hearing. I frankly don't think the Planning Commission needs to have a public hearing before it makes a recommendation to the commission.
We should decide that as a body.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That was my opinion.
Okay, the other thing I want to point out. Did I get you the three options, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, let's go back. Does anybody have, first question, does anybody have any, what am I looking for? I lost my train of thought there. Does anybody have the words put together for what they, instead of looking at what was submitted by the petition that was filed, do we have any other, any commission member have any other changes to that or modification to that or concerned with what was submitted by, for the event, for the way the amendment's going to be written?
Well, I've already voiced it, but
right.
I think we should incorporate the verbiage that the POA submitted to include associated surface infrastructure. So if you're modifying the petition that was presented to us, then I would make the motion that we approve that for submitting to the county commissioners with that modification.
Okay. Now,
instead of just wellheads.
So I would say
just saying wellheads.
Natural gas wellheads, including associated surface infrastructure.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's where I was leading up to before.
Okay, Debbie, can you read back what the way you see that amendment be reading now?
It would say natural gas wellheads, including associated surface infrastructure. One question I have, the previous, I'm losing track of my papers. What we currently have is worded drilling for removal or underground storage of natural gas. So changing it to natural gas wellheads, including associated surface infrastructure, leaves in question underground storage of natural gas. So how do we handle those?
everybody to understand how she read that. Jeff, do you understand how she read that? Okay, now the other thing is, we're not required at this point to take an open vote. We have 2 days to make it public what we decide to do here. Okay? Am I correct in saying that, Debbie?
Yeah, your requirement is that you have 2 days to meet your 30-day requirement to get something to commissioners.
So I'm putting it to the Planning Commission that if...
You're at day 28 right now.
Right. Just a second. But all I can put into the Planning Commission is right now, being the fact that it's a hotbed issue and a lot of other things, if they feel comfortable, you know, I don't have to leave the crowd in here. I can dismiss and we can have a vote today, or we can go out and think about what the information we have, mull over the fact that what the option we have with the amendment that's been proposed, the public hearing. I mean, I'm going to ask you how you want to handle it at that point. If you're comfortable taking a vote in an open forum, that's what I'm putting out there.
Point of order. Tony, depending on whether we are operating under Robert's rules of a small board, which we have been for the past several years, I think I made a motion that does not require a second, and I think we're required to take a vote.
Is that the way you read it?
Yeah, he did make an official motion. Because we're a small board.
Small board. If we could change that.
Well, what I was going by was what Debbie and I were looking at in our office was how procedures can be. You know.
That's a guideline. You can do it.
And I assume the way it was written in Robert's rules, I can empty the room to take the vote, right? That's the way we read it, and I think that's what.
Either I didn't pull out Robert's rules.
I give serious consideration to, as a public body, you're required to follow the rules of the Open Meetings Act. I think voting has to be.
All I'm doing is going by what was permitted to me just a little bit ago. Somebody else had a question.
I was wondering if the amendment, that the proposed verbiage change would exclude surface activity within the watershed from vertical drilling outside the watershed. For example, trucks going up and down 219, even though they originate or terminate outside the watershed.
No, that's not going to affect any of that. That's why I said, whatever we do is not going to solve a whole lot of problems other than it's going to get on record So whatever vote we take here today is not going to be earth shattering, and it's not going to change a whole lot until the state of Maryland comes back with their findings. So then the commissioners then can go, okay, we got to deal with the traffic problem. We got to deal with the water hauling problem. We got to deal with the rivers getting the water sucked out of it. All we're dealing with right now is yes or no. Can we drill it? You know, we tried to deal with that back a couple years ago.
Well, by right, sir, the traffic topic is as you're describing, but the service infrastructure topic, depending on interpretation and how you can put to include or whatever you want to make it more specific. But it would cover things like compressor stations. It would be precluded from the watershed, and it would be not an amazing thing for a company to have a plan to have a wellhead outside the watershed just for their convenience or where they want to build the access road to have the compressor station in the watershed, which to me is the rationale for the modified language.
That was my question. Does the modified language specifically address your point?
I believe so.
Yes and no. It doesn't address the trucks.
Associated surface infrastructure.
It says wellheads and associated infrastructure. Yeah. It doesn't say wellheads outside of the watershed and associated infrastructure.
Yeah.
And I think that's the intent.
Yeah. Okay. That's
you still, I got another feedback. If you want to play it, we'll play it that way. I got a motion on the table for the amendment as it's read by Debbie.
I would like to clarify my motion to include a recommendation that this issue be addressed in the comprehensive plan in a timely manner. And by that I mean, you know, that we don't wait till 2021. Go ahead and, move out of it. Not now, but maybe even after the regs come out in October, whenever. So I would likely include that in the motion.
Okay, I'm trying to figure out how to word that. And just the point of, just to bring it up, you voted that November is when you will decide when you will start the comprehensive plan, because that's the regs will be out in October. So at your November meeting, you will make that decision.
So basically, whatever motion is made, that's consistent. The comprehensive plan be consistent with what motion we make today. Is that how you would word that?
So would it be natural gas wellheads, including associated surface infrastructure, provided consistency is...
Is there language down here? We kind of identify.
Okay. All right. Well, it's here. I have this. Okay. Provided consistent policy is included in the comprehensive plan. Like that. And what Tim suggested is, rather than using associated surface infrastructure, we use the wording at the bottom of the POA email,
in addition to.
Inclusion of other surface elements, including for maybe including but not limited to storage and pre-processing facilities, pipelines, compressor stations, and access roads.
Kevin, that's good, but does that kind of border on the fact that raising the question, okay, you start delineating specifics?
Yeah, I never like, I'm not comfortable with listing things because you're going to miss something, but if you say included but not limited to, opens it back up again.
You think that would be...
She's shaking her head.
I do. I just
that's
think
the
it
question.
Opens it up to different interpretations.
So keep it, it's better including associated surface infrastructure without?
Suggestion.
Okay. All right.
Okay, we probably better read that back again when you get it written.
I didn't finish writing it down, so it's still in my head. All right, let me finish this. Okay. How about, I think this is what we have right now. Natural gas wellheads, including associated surface infrastructure, provided consistent language is included in the revised comprehensive plan.
Okay. Everybody understand it?
So that's your motion?
Yeah.
And that language with not permitted in any district across the board.
Troy's motion's on the floor. Do I have a second?
Clarification, your motion is to make recommendation to the commissioner
exactly
with those modifications.
Yes.
To approve it with those modifications.
Right. I have a motion on the floor and I have a second.
You don't need a second.
I know, I'm just asking if I have a second.
Okay.
Of course they can change it different from that too.
It makes it better
if you have
a second.
All right. Put it to a vote. All in favor of the recommendation or the
motion on the floor.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed?
Opposed.
And passed unanimously.
I abstained.
You did not vote.
It wasn't unanimous.
He's abstained.
Right. One.
1, 2, 3, 5, 1. 4, 1, 5, 2, whatever. We have passed.
5 to 1.
Okay, now the next question is, do we want to schedule a public hearing now or do you want to do that?
Oh, you don't need one. You either scheduled a public hearing or not.
To make this, we don't have to have a
No, but Jim said something about maybe.
It's not necessary at this point.
No, my point was you don't want to do this and then have a public hearing.
Exactly.
Okay.
I probably muddied it. That's what I was trying to say.
I know. It's been a rough day already. All right. Any other questions or concerns?
Thank you.
Hope it didn't get too bad for you. We have a couple zoning cases, so you're welcome to, anybody that doesn't want to stay here, more than welcome to go. It gets a little boring from here. Thank you. All your left, Paul, you did.
Yeah, I'm scared there, Tony.
I just put it out there. I'm allowed to do that.
Yeah, not underground. No horizontal.
Okay, Bill, we have how many zoning cases?
I'm going to do the variances first.
Hey, Tim. Tim. Hey.
See, I'll do the variances first. The first one is DR 750, and it's an application submitted by Anthony J. Lucas for a variance to allow an addition to a home that will come to within 7 feet of the side property line.
Gentlemen. We're trying to finish our meeting here.
Which is the current distance from the home to the sideline. So Mr. Lucas isn't proposing to get any closer to the sideline than he already is for his addition. It's a small 10 by 12 addition. The property is located at 1893 Rock Lodge Road, and the lot can be found on tax map 50, parcel 216, and it's zoned Lake Residential 1. So this falls in the relaxed standard category.
We have any concerns with this? Anybody here to speak for it or against it?
Yeah.
Everybody pass it on down?
It'll be in the paper tomorrow.
Okay. No letter. There's been no letter come in either way then, right?
No.
Okay. Okay. Letter boys is zoning handled or the zoning appeals handled.
Yeah, we just pass it on.
The second case is a little more interesting. It's an application, VR 751. Submitted by Mark Schmidl for a variance to allow an accessory structure treehouse that would exceed the maximum average height requirement. This property is at 167 Ridgeview Court. The lot can be found in tax map 58, parcel 622, lot 36, and it's zoned LR1. It's an accessory structure, a treehouse, and it exceeds the maximum height requirement of 20 feet. He's staying under 32 feet. It's a rather large treehouse, two-story, like 12 by 20.
Now we got to get zoning in for treehouse.
What size is this?
Electric and it's running water?
But 12 by 20. Electric, probably. Yeah.
12 by 20, two stories?
Sounds like two stories. Yeah.
32 feet high.
32 feet. It won't exceed the maximum, which is 32 feet. But it, when you go to average it, since it is so high up in the air, then it doesn't meet the average requirement, which is 25. 20 feet. It's supposed to be, but he's going to be 25.
Anybody have an opinion on the treehouse?
How far is it from the adjoining property line?
He owns two lots there, and it's at least 5 feet from the rear line.
How many feet?
It meets the requirement.
How many feet from rear line?
5 feet.
It's because it's an accessory structure.
There's been no inputs on this, right?
No, the letters just went out, and it'll be in the paper tomorrow.
I think one of the biggest concerns on this would be a privacy issue, but by the adjoining neighbors, you know, with the vantage point there, would be an invasion of privacy, in my opinion.
Because of the height of the structure.
Yeah. So I think that since there's no input yet, again, Tony, we might want to recommend that the appeals board, this does go to the appeals board, right?
Yes.
That they be very sensitive to any inputs from neighbors, particularly on the privacy aspect of it.
You note that, Bill.
Okay. I'll generate a letter to that effect. The third and final case is special exception 445. It's an application submitted by Bill Rothman. Bill's here with us today. For a special exception permit to construct a commercial communications antenna on a 7.6 acre parcel that's owned by Carolyn Tallman and others. The property is located on Garrett Highway near McHenry, tax map 58, parcel, I'm sorry, tax map 50, parcel 68, and it's in the Lake Residential Zone. It's just off Route 219.
I know we've had issues before with towers in the airport. Are we in a different location here?
It actually is within the zoning ordinance of the airport, but it doesn't extend up into the protection, the area that is protected.
By look at it, it's not as tall as the one there at the police barrier, is it?
I beg your pardon?
It's not as tall as the one there at the police barrier.
No, not at all. Not at all.
So it's 195 feet?
I think you have 220.
170. Now, is that official, that reduction in height?
I can make it official.
I think, you know, it had an annotation on the diagram that we received, but then if you look at the specifics on the side, it still includes antenna structures at 195 foot.
That might be some old drawing stuff that you have.
That's the one
that...
I brought some stuff with me that I think we're revising to that may accommodate you guys, keep everybody happy, so to speak.
You were talking about going down to 170, right?
Yeah, I don't think we need to be up there in this where we're going. Am I showing this stuff to the right people?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
You yep. Show it right there.
You can see where it says it's going to be proposed 170 foot tower.
Is this exactly the same?
Yes, it shows our access road coming in. I'd like to bring this access road in from Timber Ridge. I think that would be better for the county that we don't build a driveway down on 219. We bring this thing down to 170 feet. Coming northbound on 219, you'd be hard pressed to see it. Coming down the hill when you come to the boardwalk, you'll see it a little bit. Coming southbound, you'll see it a little bit more, but you're going to have to look for it. It's not going to be in your face. I don't know how many of you guys noticed the one that's up there by the state police barracks. Well, when the tree's green in, you really don't see that one very much at all.
This
will be about the same thing. Heck, a little fog comes down, you don't see it at all.
Right.
Like I said, the access from Timber Ridge I think would be the best. I don't see anything exactly saying that I really have access, but the property does border the road, so if we get access there, that would be great. The other thing is, you let me build this cell tower up there. They can subdivide two lots, put two houses up there. I'll put the tower up there. I'll disturb enough room for the tower. That's it. Just the compound. It's 40 by 80 right now. I might tweak that a little bit. I might have to make it a little bit longer, maybe less wide. 40 by 80 might not quite accommodate the topography up there right now. I might have to push some stuff around. I might have to make it 60 by 70 or something like that. Let's see what I bump into up there. Mike Kogenauer says that we can do a 40 by 80 up there and be comfortable. If I can do this, I won't build anything else on that property. I won't touch another tree. It'll stay exactly the way it is.
I probably missed it, but is this for a specific carrier, or are you going to have multiple?
No, multiple carriers. You don't want to build a tower that's only specific to one carrier, because you're going to have a bunch of them up and down the highway. You're going to get another tower whether you want one or not. That's coming. Technology said so. So did progress. I'm sure y'all probably got a couple landlines left in your houses, but you don't use them very much, I bet.
Nobody gets off the couch fancy.
You know, I think I took this position on the last tower issue that came before this board, is that, you know, Verizon is on record is they would like to get out of the landline business as fast as they can. They want to shut it down and cease operation because there is cell service to these areas.
Well, not,
but not all the areas.
They're not investing any money at all in infrastructure for landlines either.
Pardon?
To your point, they're not investing any money in infrastructure.
I know, but they're not maintaining it real well either.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They just
don't. Yeah. So I think that, you know, that if at all possible, that, you know, we should support construction of this tower.
The way he's bringing his road off makes it a lot easier to support too, you know what I mean? Because you're coming off.
It's a quieter option to keep, but I think it's
better
for
everybody.
I live in a neighborhood too where I have opinions about what gets built and what doesn't get built, you know? And I would have an opinion about this, and if I didn't have a driveway coming in and off the road, I would.
You don't want to deal with the State Highway Administration either coming off
the Thank God for that.
You're going to save a lot of money.
I know a couple of them folks, and you're right about that.
So just one clarification, Bill. We're approving this at a certain height. If they want to increase the height later, do they have to come back again, or?
Well, I would say yes.
The special exception is needed just for the tower itself. And then during the testimony of the special exception hearing, they will be limited to what they say is the height that's going to be, unless the board gives them flexibility, unless the board would say, well, we don't care so much about the height, but usually they do.
But just my education, would that height be recorded in the permit then?
Yes, it would be written in the opinion order, along with these drawings.
Yeah, thank you.
So we need a motion to pat to grant the waiver right then to go on to the exception or not?
Just an advisory opinion.
Okay.
The board is just asking for an advisory opinion.
So we just want to make sure that the height is controlled in the permit, right? That sound
you
right?
Can ask for
okay. Anything else, Bill?
So that's the only case that we have. That'll be for May the 19th at 7 p.m. in this room.
Anybody else? Comments, concerns?
A lot of these going up now.
Yeah.
New ones.
Shorter, closer together.
Yeah.
Uninterrupted communication. The amount of data that we're sending through the air today is fantastic. You got kids doing their homework, doing the encyclopedia, and have Cliff Notes, all downloaded on their cell phone the whole time they're texting somebody else. It's a tremendous amount of space.
But they don't know who's running for president.
And unfortunately, they're doing it while they're driving.
Yes.
Yeah.
I have a question for you. Would this tend, I think it would, tend to fill in that coverage gap that you have down just west of where you're going to put this tower?
Just
down
west.
In that valley? Down by JG's Pub, that road.
Mayhew Road?
Mayhew. Yeah. Once you get down in there, currently the cell coverage is zilch.
We'll just put a little tinfoil on the top of your antenna.
That's where your carrier is.
Yeah, that's Troy. Just put a little tinfoil on the top of your antenna.
Do you want to keep these?
Do we need them for anything? Bill?
Need them, Bill?
They're the same that you submitted.
I don't know. I don't know because why don't you keep it?
Okay. You have
certainly.
So we're just passing that off to the.
Puts the beer rack off the lake for me.
It's a good thing I don't have any keys. That's where I live.
Yeah, we're not going to make any motion
to. No, you're good. We're just going to pass it off to zoning appeal.
Like if we have a recommendation, we'd send that off to the.
You're good.
Okay.
Anything else?
I appreciate you guys' time. You need this back. No, sir. Would you like to keep that?
I
We'll give it to Bill.
Any other comments?
I gave him a copy.
Anything else?
Is that it?
Next meeting when? June?
June 1st.
Internet.
June 1st.
Home calls.
June 1st, Bill.
1st. All right, are we officially?
Meeting adjourned.
Turn off our live streaming, Bill.